So this study was, my name is Tigis, and I'm with the Healthcare Innovation and Technology Lab, and this was a study that we conducted at our organization. It's a research institution, and it was a systematic literature review trying to kind of analyze the findings of mobile health as it's being applied to maternal and child health, specifically in prenatal to neonatal care. So first off, I would just kind of like to begin and ask, I know we have a full room of women and someone out there also has a baby, but I'm sure like who here has been involved in like the birthing process or pregnancy? I'm sure, yeah, I mean like,
that was,
yeah, I guess with a room full of women, it's that was an easy question to ask. So I'm sure a lot of you will be a little bit empathetic and understand the process that is involved and what mobile phones or what mHealth can contribute to this process. So what we're going to do today is just pretty much first give you a definition of what mHealth is and its applications in resource-limited health settings, and then also try to describe the functions and the modalities of these mHealth programs that we analyzed in our literature review, and then try to also kind of analyze the roles of and contributions of stakeholders, the different players involved. And lastly, we'll try to abstract out some challenges and best practices of programs that are being implemented using mHealth. So first of all, what exactly is mHealth? The exact definition would be the integration of mobile telecommunication and multimedia into mobile and wireless healthcare delivery systems. So anything that's portable and uses mobile services or wireless services. And this is actually really interesting because according to the International Telecommunications Union, based out of Geneva, they are now, as of 2010, they were saying that mobile coverage, so the ability to be connected using a mobile phone, if you have the mobile phone, has reached about 90% of the world's total population, and just a little bit less, 80% of the global population living in rural areas. So it is something that's, you know, on a very pervasive scale. And lastly, mobile phones are being able to thrive in resource-limited settings despite the scarcity of other technologies. So despite the lack of maybe technology, lack of internet or lack of computers, mobile phones are actually something that are able to penetrate into those settings. So one of the first things that we wanted to do was see how this can be applied, this mHealth phenomenon, how this could be applied to maternal, child, and newborn health. So our study objective was to identify patterns and kind of extract out what we can learn from their strategies, where they're being implemented, who's using these technologies. Are they health workers or are they the pregnant women? Who are the end users? Who's funding these things? Who's actually implementing it on the ground? And those types of dynamics of the mHealth interventions. And one of the reasons why we wanted to concentrate a lot on specifically during the period of the prenatal to neonatal time period is because this is actually where there's the greatest risk for mothers and newborns. So if there is some intervention that can target during, I don't have a pointer, but like during the institutional delivery time period, during the interpartum period, then that's something that could be critical in saving lives. So I mean, I've kind of given you a little bit of a high-level idea of why we should integrate mHealth, but on a practical level, you know, almost three-quarters, 75 to 70% of maternal and newborn mortality could be averted through interventions that we already know of. You know, they're evidence-based, and if they're comprehensive, maternal mortality can actually go down, and this is something that is known. And another thing also, and I know this was mentioned a little bit earlier in the introduction, is that it is one of the MDG goals, but it's one of the goals that's been, you know, a little bit slow in getting attained. So there's a lot of funding and progress is not being achieved as much as relative to the other MDG goals as well. So this has kind of started, you know, stimulating ideas and innovative ways of how we can address maternal mortality through non-traditional, non-conventional ways, and mHealth poses as one of those opportunities. And lastly, maternal mortality and morbidity outcomes are very sensitive to time. This isn't a chronic condition. This is something that you need to intervene immediately, and if you are able to provide that, you know, reduce those delays, then that's a very critical, and it's usually a matter of life and death. So mobile phones could be something that can mitigate these delays and also be used as a bridging tool, which is very necessary. So how we set about this is we searched through 6 databases, and I'm not going to go into all of it, all the different search terms, but pretty much something that had a mHealth construct, so something that involved technology, wireless, mobile, those types of terms, in conjunction with things that involve maternal, neonatal, prenatal, those types of search terms as well. So this was through English peer-reviewed articles and through the different 6 databases. So altogether, we had about 1,538 articles, but we only really analyzed 34 because we had a very strict exclusion criteria. A lot of articles were talking about fetal exposure to mobile phones, like for example, if the mother was to use mobile phones and cancer risks, which was not what we were intending to study when we were trying to talk about mobile phones and maternal health. So all in all, our research, just to kind of give you a visual of the coverage, the red indicates ones that were in the literature review themselves. So you could see a lot in like Southeast Asia, a few in East Africa, Ghana, the Gambia, Peru. The green indicates articles that were found after we conducted our literature review, and that was something I updated for this presentation itself, just because after we conducted this study in December 2010, there was this proliferation of articles of, you know, even articles produced within the country and also articles, you know, related to Brazil, South Africa, that were talking about these mHealth interventions for maternal and newborn care, but we didn't analyze them yet. So I just wanted to give you a broader insight of where the geographic span of mHealth programs are. So the common functions of these programs were in emergency medical response, point of care support, health promotion, and data collection management. And I'm just giving you the broad sense here, and we're going to go deeper into what exactly these different functions are. Another thing that I also want to highlight about the study was that we found that there were two different users. So there was the patient-centric ones, usually the pregnant mothers that were going to call their midwives or, you know, try to call the traditional birth attendant. Or there was also the health worker-centric, which was used by the local community health workers, or it could be used by, you know, someone at the remote health center. So these were the two different aspects of it, and we're going to go a little bit deeper just to kind of give you some examples and case studies. Lastly, the thing that we kind of searched for was the barriers and strategies for implementation. So we looked at things like the sociocultural context, like was the language always used? What type of language was used? Who was actually being able to receive those messages? Were women the ones that were actually holding on to the phones, or was the phone just in the household and maybe it could be held by the head who might have been a male, in which case it might not have been as effective? Financial frameworks, who's funding it? Do people have the ability to even afford the mobile credit? Those types of challenges. And lastly, the policy frameworks of, you know, who controls the network or the ICT environment versus the health bureaus, and are they actually communicating? Is their connectivity meeting the health strategies? Is there any type of dialogue between those different health or network-related departments within the country? So just to give you some case studies, these were the ones involved with emergency medical response, and this often took in the shape of obstetric referrals. So at the time of delivery, if they were instructed and trained on what the signs of complications were, they were then the local or community-based health workers, and these can range from birth attendants to local midwives. They would be able to notify someone at a more evolved or a more advanced health facility to say, okay, we're going to be referring somebody, please expect them to come. So these were some of the case studies that we encountered. One that I would like to highlight was the Gambia, which they were able to provide mobile phones to traditional birth attendants and outreach workers, and they also trained them in the recognition of pregnancy complications. And this study wasn't as conclusive about what the outcomes would be, just because there were other health resource-related limitations, such as there wasn't blood for blood transfusions, or there was an inavailability of physicians or, you know, clinicians to deal with these referrals. So that was something that was a little bit sobering about mHealth, is that, you know, it could connect, it could be the bridge, but then after that, once you get to the health service, to the health facility, the quality of service might not be as good, or it might not even be able to accommodate the people coming in for the referrals. Another one also of modality is the point of care support, which is there's a low coverage of qualified health professionals at the community level, but then maybe at a more distant or remote center, there might be more expertise available. So two programs that dealt with that was one in Indonesia with the mobile midwives. They would give mobile phones to midwives, and then they would be able to communicate with experts at a health facility that was a little bit further, and they would be able to get consultations about how to handle those obstetric emergencies or the obstetric care at that point. And another one also going on is in Pakistan as well. There are two ongoing programs. Another function was also health promotion, and this was done most of the times through SMS, through text messaging, where there would be broad dissemination of health promotion messages. This happened in Thailand. Actually, there were two programs in Thailand from our review, and they pretty much sent out information about, you know, antenatal care, also about immunizations as well, and this was a way to kind of increase the confidence of women and also try to increase their frequency or visitation for antenatal care services. Another one that was close to me was the Tanzania, where it was called the Wired Mothers, and they linked pregnant women, they gave them mobile phones, and they linked them with health facilities so that if there was any time that they were experiencing any complication, they can just call up the health facility or the health worker that they were attached to. Lastly, data collection and management, going around and being able to collect data on immunization, on birth records, and being able to do this on your PDA, on your personal assistant. So these are the different uses of mHealth. The different barriers that were faced in these studies was the cost to pregnant women and local health workers once the program's phased out. And the relationship among stakeholders. So donors would be funding this as well, and then at the same time, there would be government institutions implementing this, and being able to scale it up, that was a big challenge, because once that program phased out, then it kind of would collapse, unless there was, you know, government ownership that would kind of sustain it. And lastly, the under-resourced health ecosystem. So, you know, you could bring the horse to the water, but after that, if the service is not available for the women, then it kind of creates this gap between what you're telling the people to go for. You're telling them to seek obstetric referrals. However, they go there, but they're actually not able to get the procedure that they need. So this was a little disconcerting. A lot of other barriers that we saw from the policy side was, first of all, the lack of policy and management frameworks about who's going to deal with the costs, after who's going to deal with the strategies of what mobile health messages could be taking place. This is an example of the remote consultations. So there was no accountability assigned to the health worker and the one at the remote facility. So if you were to do some procedure and it went wrong, who was to be assigned the accountability. So that's one issue. Another one is that there are no evaluations that can actually guide and influence the national health strategies. There hasn't been a large scale understanding of what are the outcomes of these mHealth programs. A lot of them are done by the program implementers themselves. So there's no third party or independent objective evaluations. Lastly, and trying a good strategy that we saw was being able to engage local partners in developing the culturally appropriate languages and messages. So using the local Indonesian Bahasa was one that was a good strategy. And lastly, being able to utilize people that are closely in touch with the pregnant women at the community level. That was one key strategy that was helping to bridge the community-based services with the health facility-based services. I'm going to just quickly go into I'm going to just quickly go into the limitations. There was a scarcity of articles with quantitative design, so we weren't able to actually provide statistical evidence in a lot of the cases for what was going on. A lot of them used qualitative, and they were more overviews of programs that had been implemented. So overall, mHealth programs, they seem to be excelling just based on the reports that we're getting in key areas such as expediting emergency referrals and also enhancing preventive care. But there's still some challenges for scaling up these initiatives, such as the cost, the health ecosystem itself, and the coordination among different stakeholders and implementing partners. And lastly, there's a need for increased research, particularly independent third-party research, to actually evaluate the outcomes and how they align with maternal health indicators themselves.